The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Scholes, and I'm joined by the Executive for Marketing, Corporate Communication and Client Management Service, Okkart Jansen. Welcome, Okkart.
Thank you very much for having me, Angie.
So we're going to be talking about BEPA's commencement of the deregistration process for non-compliant beneficial ownership entities. Okkart, what prompted BEPA to begin deregistering entities that fail to comply with beneficial ownership disclosure requirements?
So I would like to give a slight background on beneficial ownership. Maybe there are some of your listeners that are only hearing about this for the first time. Now, beneficial ownership is a new legal requirement for all registered businesses or legal persons. It came into the law in 2023, August, where we operationalized this provision. What it basically says is that every business that is registered is required to disclose to BEPA their ultimate beneficial owners. So what is an beneficial owner? A beneficial owner is a natural person, which is you and I, a natural person that has either control by virtue of shareholding or veto rights or whatever it is, or influence over a legal person, which is now the business, or where this natural person perhaps receives substantial financial or economic benefit from this business. So anyone that aligns with that definition would be regarded as a beneficial owner. Sure. Now, fast forward, since August 2023, BEPA has done a lot of public awareness on why businesses should comply, who should comply, what the processes are. We've been, I believe, on the Future Media radio stations, probably tens of times on the other media as well. We've done outreaches just to ensure that the public is aware about this new legal requirement on businesses. This month, we still have approximately 140,000 plus businesses that remain non-compliant. But I also must say that we appreciate and we celebrate those businesses that have heeded the call and have complied. So we have about 90,000 plus businesses that have already complied. And we want to say thank you to those ones that have complied. Now, what the law then states, Angie, is that once a business is non-compliant, BEPA must place them on an inactive list. We've done this, we've instituted this inactive list since March last year. What it means is that if your entity is inactive, it is actually suspended from doing business. And after you've been placed on an inactive list, we must register you after a period of 6 months. Now, BEPA has been very lenient up to now because we understand the implications and consequences of deregistration. And that is why we have gone out of our way to really reach out to the businesses before we now had to make the decision of eventually starting to deregister these entities.
Okkart, maybe you could tell us, what are the legal requirements for beneficial ownership disclosure in Namibia?
The requirements to disclose is very simple. You must be a registered business. Beneficial ownership also applies to trusts, whether it's a testamentary trust or an inter vivo trust, but that is being dealt with by the Master of the High Court. So I cannot speak on that. But I can speak to it in as far as it relates to legal persons and not legal arrangements. So any business that is registered ought to comply with this requirement. What you need to do is you need to look at your business. You need to look at who are the natural persons that have control or influence or that benefit financially or economically from this business, and you have to disclose it. You have to disclose it yearly or within 7 days after which a change occurred. Now, especially for these big companies, there are changes that happen every day. Shareholder meeting, directors meetings, change in shareholding, buyout of shares, issuing of new shares, and so forth. Buying out of a company, you know, transferring of a company, consolidating companies. And when these changes occur, 10 to 1, the beneficial owners change from one natural person to another natural person. Because if I sell my shares, which were maybe 25% or 30% shares or shareholding, if I sell it to someone else in the company, I am no longer a beneficial owner of this entity unless I might have influence or control through other means. So it means this new person would then need to be listed as a beneficial owner. So you have to do it annually or as when changes occur within 7 days. And then annually, if no changes occur, you can just file a BO2 form, which is basically a declaratory form that states that nothing has changed. What is important to note on this, on these declarations or disclosures is that these are legally binding. And should any business or any person misdeclare, misrepresent, falsely declare, or lie on these forms as to who the true beneficial owners are, it carries serious administrative and financial penalties, but also criminal penalties, imprisonment for many years, as well as fines in the millions of dollars. And as we know, Angie, the reason for beneficial ownership is so that we are able to conduct more transparent business, so that we can root out money laundering, terrorism financing, proliferation financing, or any sort of financial crimes that may be happening, whether it's illicit flow of monies within our country.
Are there any exemptions or grace periods available for entities still trying to meet compliance?
Yes, Angie. So BIPA issued the directive on the 11th of April, where we have notified businesses that they have until 16th of May to comply, failure to which they will be flagged for deregistration. Now, there may be instances where an entity may be erroneously listed on this inactive list. So please do go to our website and check if your business is there. If that may be the case, you can send an email to objections@bipa.na. objections@bipa.na, and then you can tell us whatever the circumstances are. You can say that, no, BIPA, I did comply to this. Here's my proof. Please remove me from the inactive list and send me an update, or whatever the case may be. But there may also be circumstances or instances where an entity is not compliant, but they may feel that they should not be deregistered. They can also send such an objection to BIPA with the motivation, with proof, why they believe, in their view, they should not be deregistered. I just want to mention that BIPA is not going to just look at non-material reasons. So it couldn't be something like, I didn't know, I wasn't aware, I was on the farm, I didn't know where to find the forms, I was out of the country for a while, I cannot find the other BOs. It must really be serious, impactful reasons why you are objecting. Yeah. So of course, 16 May 2025, then we'll start flagging the companies. As I mentioned, we have over 140,000 entities, close corporations mostly, and then companies, and also associations not for gain. So obviously, all these entities will not be deregistered at one go. We are employing a phased and a risk approach. And obviously, the numbers are huge. So as of 16 May, we will give periodical updates through the media on how the process is going.
Looking at economic and legal implications again, what impact could this deregistration process have on Namibia's business environment and investor confidence?
This could potentially be catastrophic, Angie. Why I'm saying this is the following, and I want to highlight one specific implication. As you know, there are many people, citizens, that have bought property. However, they have bought property through a close corporation, or there are some that have bought property such as farms through a PTY, which means that this close corporation or this PTY actually owns or holds this property. Now, if this entity no longer exists through deregistration, it loses its legal status. So what happens to the property? The property now becomes without ownership, a legal term called bona vacantia, and it could be that the state would now, the property could now vest in the state if the business or the entity is not restored, which basically tells you that individuals that don't run businesses but maybe only have a business for the sake of holding property may also be impacted, and they may be impacted legally and financially because now they may be forced to go to lawyers through long legal processes, pay money, you know, just because they've not complied. Other consequences to the economy could impact the ordinary Namibian. How would the ordinary Namibian be impacted through this mass deregistration of non-compliant entities due to beneficial ownership? Let's take this scenario. The scenario is that, let's say there's a company or business that have won a tender or a bid award. Let's say, for instance, and it's an example, let's say through the Ministry of Health, they maybe have a tender to supply oxygen to all state hospitals, or they have a tender to supply life-saving medication. But this entity is non-compliant to its BO requirements. Now, what happens is that this entity will now I'll be flagged for deregistration if it remains non-compliant. Let's assume that the entity already got the bid or the tender. The state hospitals around the country are running out of oxygen, and this entity now needs to supply this. But in the process, this entity is deregistered. BIPA informs the relevant authorities, such as the Procurement Policy Unit, CBBN, Ministry of Health. And now this entity no longer exists, which means it cannot executes its obligations under this procurement contract. What does it mean for the ordinary Namibian? It means that there may not ultimately be oxygen for you during operations or when you need it. Those are just examples of the implications. Why do I mention this is because anyone listening to this interview that think that I don't own a business, I don't have a property, so this doesn't impact me, it doesn't touch me. Think differently. Think, who can I reach out to in your WhatsApp groups, family groups, friends groups, on your statuses, and alert people about what is happening with the mass deregistration at BIPA? Tell them that there are serious implications. They should visit BIPA's website, check if they have a property that is listed in a CC or a farm that is listed in a PTY, and make sure that they comply, because ultimately it affects all of us. But more importantly, Angie, is if we don't comply, we may possibly be blacklisted by the Financial Action Task Force. This is an intergovernmental organization, or also known as the Global Anti-Money Laundering Watchdog, and they could potentially blacklist Namibia, which means that we could see a decline, a stark decline in foreign investment. We could see a rise in the interest rates of money that we've borrowed, or we could even see terms being now dictated by borrowers have lended us money. So there are also some other consequences to an ordinary Namibian, such as if you work for a business that is non-compliant, once this business is deregistered, the financial institutions such as the banks would be under an obligation to restrict further transacting on these bank accounts, because this business technically don't exist anymore. Now, imagine this business have creditors to pay, have staff members to pay. They might have rent to pay. They might have utilities to pay, or they might be wanting to receive money into their accounts, but they cannot transact. These are some of the serious consequences that impact you as a Namibian that work for a Namibian company that is registered with BIPA. So ask your boss. Ask the owner, are you compliant to your BO requirements? If not, please do so, because your non-compliance could impact my salary at the end of the month. And if we just look at how we can go down to an ordinary Namibian and how it impacts us, we would understand that everyone needs to everyone has a duty to share this message with their friends and families, their colleagues, and even their managers or the owners of businesses that they work for.
Okar, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Angie. Take care.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.